Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is our text. You may be seated. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So begins this psalm of praise, Psalm 8, that we shared together this morning in our worship. And the prophet Isaiah picks up on this theme of awe and wonder of Yahweh, our God. And he writes this series of rhetorical questions in the latter part of chapter 40 to draw us in to consider Yahweh, to consider our God. He asks, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood it? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. And so we begin today reflecting on the mystery and the wonderful creation of our God. Isaiah calls Yahweh in the Hebrew El Kadosh, the Holy One. And he goes on to describe that it is the Holy One that stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. So great is the God whom we worship, who created such a world of beauty and perfect, intricate precision. The psalmist then echoes the words of the prophet, declaring, you have set your glory above the heavens. And then he asks this question with a great sense of humility. The psalmist asks, when I look at your heavens, at the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? What indeed is man that such an awesome God is mindful of us? The skeptic, the cynic, would take that question and kind of turn it on its head in an effort to cast doubt. And so the skeptic might ask, what makes you think that you, who are so small in the vastness of the universe, were even created by a God, let alone a God that might care for you? We in the modern era know a great deal more about the universe than Isaiah could have ever imagined in his day. And yet, we need not deny that we are so very small, even as we confess God as our Creator. We have lifted a man off the face of the earth, cast him into space, and set him upon the moon. And from there, he could look back and begin to see how small the earth really is from any sort of cosmic distance at all. You may recall, although this is some decades ago, that one of the cosmonauts who traveled into space famously observed, I have traveled up into the heavens only to discover that God cannot be seen even from here, therefore he must not exist. We'll come back to the smallness of that perspective in a minute. But let's pull back even further from this current view. If Saturn, were our destination, then our home of earth would be nothing more than a little star in the night sky, as we have seen by the probes that we have sent into deep space. And this familiar image from probably every beginning science textbook reminds us again that even in our little planet of families, our Earth seems fairly insignificant, certainly nothing special. Clearly not, as the ancients believed, the very center of the universe. Just one among this handful. And if we draw the lens several million miles further back, we see that our entire solar system is nothing but a little speck in what we call our galaxy. And scientists have estimated, I don't know how, scientists have estimated that the length of just our galaxy is the equivalent of something on the order of 100,000 light years across. And even this galaxy is lost in the far reaches of space where there may be thousands like it. And let's face it, such distance, space, dimension, size is far, far beyond our human comprehension. And we can get caught up in the dizzying vastness of space and start to fall prey to the question of the skeptic. Can there possibly be a God who created all of this and bothers to know you? But I'd like to invite us to look at it another way this morning. We assign in our culture tremendous value to something so very small, not much larger than the size of a little pebble. One might suggest, for all its shine, that it's really just a little handful of grains of sand gathered just precisely together. And yet, we recognize it with tremendous value, even precious. We take a tiny little stone and we firmly fix it in a setting, and then that setting is securely affixed to a ring, and that ring intended to adorn a finger. And in all of that imagery, we do assign tremendous meaning and value. Even though the stone itself is so very small. Now, imagine this. What if I were to take this little stone, which belongs to my wife, and take it up to 3 Mile Road and cast it into a familiar and enormous hole in the ground? What then? Well, let's try to look past the personal calamity that would befall my own life as I try to explain why this particular precious stone is no longer on the finger of my bride, but is buried somewhere at the bottom of a quarry. Forget all that, please. Instead, she wouldn't. Yeah, thank you. Instead, though, let's focus for a moment just upon that tiny little stone. The question is, how would it have changed? Would its value in any way have been diminished? And I dare say we would all agree that it hasn't. It hasn't changed. The value of that little stone would remain just as high, it would be just as precious as it was before my foolish act of throwing it away, even if it was seemingly lost in this vast sea of sand and stone and now snow. The only thing that would have changed in the existence of this little stone is the extraordinary measures that it would take from me to somehow recover it and restore it to its rightful place once again on the finger of my spouse. So what we can easily recognize is that something so very small that might appear seemingly lost amidst its vast surroundings is nevertheless no less valuable. That is what I believe our Lord illustrates for us today in His Word. Isaiah declares, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and as we have seen, infinitely far beyond even that." And yet, in the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we see the God of the universe standing at the bedside of one sick woman. The incarnate Son of God, the very Word of God, by whom all of this universe was created, stands in the flesh by this woman, the mother-in-law of Peter, his newly selected disciple. And Jesus reaches out and takes her hand and brings her healing. The same God who cast billions of stars across the expanse of the universe brings one act of human healing. So personal is God's love for each of us. The vastness of the universe does not speak against the existence of God. The vastness of the universe, at times, speaks against our small understanding of God. The fact that our earth appears randomly to be randomly cast, seemingly lost among these billions and billions of stars, does not suggest the absence of God, even as that cosmonaut tried to observe with such a small journey, relatively speaking, that he had taken. Instead, I believe it declares the lengths to which God has gone to recover each of us and restore us to the relationship that He had in mind for us from before the foundations of the earth. Our Lord Jesus was for a time made to be a little lower than the angels. He is El Kadosh, the Holy One. And He is the one who hung for us between heaven and earth. The one whose perfect sacrifice caused us to be found who were lost, to be recovered, to be restored into the relationship that God always intended. And so now we read in the letter to the Hebrews, He is crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of His death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. This same Jesus who brought individual healing to one sick woman, stretched His hands out upon the cross and brought eternal healing to the multitudes who have lived on this earth, who will recognize Him for who He really is and call on Him in faith. Do you recall God's promise to Abraham? God took Abraham outside and He said to him, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you are able. So shall your offspring be." Isn't it truly remarkable to think that the same God who cast these billions of stars into the universe fulfilled His promise to Abraham in the billions of people who have lived upon the earth? And could it be that we at times can feel on our own little planet lost and insignificant among the billions with whom we share it? Is there not that temptation to ask, in the midst of all of this sea of humanity, could God recognize just one face? And could it be mine or yours? Dear friends in Christ, you need not wonder. For this same God spoke through the prophet Isaiah when He said, "I have called you by name, you are mine." And the psalmist in Psalm 139, he rejoices and he says, "I am fearful, you have knit me together. You have knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." This is no anonymous face. This little face is one of ours. This is a child of Katie Holowinski, the Spanish teacher at Racine Lutheran High School. She's one of us. And to her, God has said, "I know your name. I have marked you as my own in the waters of baptism." And we recognize that something so small is precious. Indeed, we realize it even from an early age, that when we look upon the newest and the smallest among us, what we see is this incredible miracle of one new life. Precious to God in all the universe. Isn't it a marvel that the one who sits above the circle of the earth knows your name? I pray that for us today, that great truth is once again a great wonder, a great assurance, and a great comfort. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows your name, keep you steadfast in your faith in Him.